Lord, you are so good. Knowing that when the waves of life are coming against us, Lord, your word says it's through the hope in you, Lord, that we can be secure. To be able to say, Lord, it is well with our soul, Lord, it is our heart's desire. God, and we just ask that we can say that. Lord, that we can have the confidence to know that when we are going through hard times, Lord, we can look and say that no matter what happens in this life, Lord, our eternal security is found in you. And so, Lord, I just ask that you would speak to us today. Lord, may your word come alive. Lord, may you just teach us to trust in you more. God, and we just ask that when we leave here, Lord, that we become more like Jesus than we came. Lord, that we look like Jesus, that we smell like Jesus. God, may people look at us and know that person is different because their hope isn't found in anything this world can give, but it's found in Jesus. And so, Lord, we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, good morning. Good morning. How are you guys doing? Good. Well, if you're joining with us, we've been going through a series in the book of Hebrews called Jesus is Superior. Now, if you're like me, anytime I hear that somebody is superior, superheroes always come to my mind. And I just picture Jesus in his white robe, and underneath his robe, he has a Superman outfit that has like a J on it. And so anytime I'm reading this passage, just that idea that, man, Jesus is incredible. And the more we're reading this book, the more we're finding that Jesus is far more superior than we've ever known. And it's so awesome to be able to go through letters in Scripture to see the heart of writers. And so we've been learning a lot about how Jesus is superior to Moses, or superior to the angels, or superior to the high priests. And a few weeks ago when we were talking about Hebrews 5, the writer mentioned the idea of Jesus being a high priest. And then he kind of took this off-ramp, and we started being challenged with things like not drifting. And last week, Pastor Gary talked about how we can be confident in the hope. And he challenged each and every single one of us is that if we're not a part of a ministry, to get involved. Because when you are getting involved and you're serving, it's a sign of your faith in Jesus. And he finished last week with this verse, because, and I want to read it because this verse connects to this passage. In Hebrews 6:12, it says this: we do not want you to become lazy. Meaning we want you to serve. We want you to become part of the body of Christ, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. And so the writer is challenging them. And this week, we're kind of at the end of that off-ramp road. At the end of this passage, and beginning of next week, the writer is going to get back on the main road, and he's going to get back into talking about Jesus as a high priest. But today I want to talk about a few things that we have a hard time doing. The first one is waiting patiently. If you're like me, patience is not a part of my body. It's not a part of who I am. But the writer is challenging us to be patient. And the next one is trust. I don't know about you, but there are some times that I have a hard time trusting in people. But we're going to see here that we can trust in God because he's far superior than everything. And so we're going to start off in verse 16. So if you have your Bibles, you can open up to Hebrews 6, verses 13 through 20. And if you're using the Pew Bible, it's on page 840. And it's going to be on the screen, so if you guys need it. In verse 13, it says this: when God made his promise to Abraham, since there was no one greater for him to swear by, he swore by himself, saying, I will surely bless you and give you your many descendants. And so after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised. And people swear by someone greater than themselves, and the oath confirms what is said and puts an end to all argument, because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised. And he confirmed it with an oath. And God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope set before us may be greatly encouraged. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain where our forerunner Jesus has entered on our behalf. And he's become a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. In 2012, when we were living still in New Jersey, one of the greatest storms, one of the most powerful storms, hit the coast. And Hurricane Sandy. Check this out.
A monster storm, almost 1,000 miles wide.
This is going to be a big and powerful storm.
With the destructive power of an atomic bomb. A natural disaster of extraordinary force strikes the northeast coast of the United States.
Don't mess with Mother Nature.
Never seen anything like this.
What's going on? I don't know what's going on. It's a hurricane.
You would never think this was happening in New York.
50 homes already have burned to the ground.
This is unbelievable, man.
I've never witnessed anything like this.
Oh, my God.
Unbelievable. Sorry.
Hey, Heather, it's Michelle. Hi. I don't know. I don't even know what to say. I'm just happy that we're alive. We're all just sort of, there's no power, there's no service, there's no phone. It's like a scene out of some end of the world movie.
The people on the East Coast wake to Sandy's aftermath. This was a storm of almost unimaginable power. Sandy's impact was felt along the coastline from Florida to Massachusetts before she made landfall. Then it blew an ocean into the heart of New York City.
Oh my God!
With such devastating power, she grows to a superstorm.
Uh-oh.
Terrifying millions of people.
Trying to keep it down somehow.
Sandy is definitely coming into New York City and making a huge mess.
This was our home, you know? I mean, I'm sorry.
The statistics are awesome. Almost 200 dead, an estimated $50 billion worth of damage, and more than 8 million people without power. This is the story of a tragic and never-to-be-forgotten 24 hours in the life of Superstorm Sandy.
I don't know, Angie. I still get emotional watching that. I know many people who lost their homes. The waves were so powerful, the water was surging everywhere. And just like with Hurricane Sandy, we experience waves in our life. We experience storms that are unbearable, that are hard, and for some of us, we feel like giving up. We feel like just throwing in the towel because it seems like nothing in this world can ever fix that. But like in any storm, and if you're a fisherman, you know that when you're on a boat and waves come, you have an anchor to secure it. And so the question I want to talk about today and answer is this: how do you anchor your soul? when the waves of life come crashing down, where is it that you find your security, that you find your hope? And what we're going to look at today, and the Hebrew writer says, is that nothing else matters but Jesus. And so at the end of this passage, the end of this sermon, I hope that you find and you anchor your soul in Jesus Christ, because there's nothing that's going to be as immovable as Jesus. And many of you are probably asking, well, how do I do that? How do I anchor my soul? And so if you received the bulletin, you notice that there's 3 points on it that we're going to talk about. And the first one is this: we anchor our soul by waiting on God. When waves seem like they're never ending, God says, wait, be patient on me. And the next one is this: is not only are we called to wait, but we're called to trust in God, knowing that everything in this world he has under control. And finally, we fully secure that by anchoring in Jesus himself. And so the first one is waiting on God. Now, many people are probably asking, and when I think about this, what comes to mind is the phrase, what are you talking about, Willis? Like, you're telling me to wait. I hate waiting. I struggle with waiting, and it's one of my crutches. But God has called us to wait, and in life we have so much, but our society doesn't know how to wait. When everything that we have at our fingertips is instant. I mean, we could pull out our phone and instantly find any answer to any question that we want. We can drive down the road and get food instantly. Anything that we have, as a society, we desire and we want instant gratification. We don't want to wait for anything, not even our food. And for me, God taught me that a few years ago. Many of you know kind of our story with my wife. But you know that her dad said no the first time. And any time in life, we have people that are speaking into our ears saying, why are you going to wait on that? Just do it. Just go. Just do it. Bypass his word, bypass his rules, and just marry her. And God's saying, don't you dare. And so I waited 4 years to ask again, because I knew what I wanted, and I knew that it was worth the wait. And what we see in this passage at the beginning in verse 13, we see that God promised Abraham, and many of you know, before Hebrews, we finished a series on Genesis, and we learned about Abraham, and we learned that God said that through you are going to come many descendants, as numerous as the stars and the sand on the sea. Not working. So God told Abraham that through him is going to be descendants. Now, he was old at the time, and his wife, when she heard that she was going to eventually give birth, she laughed. She mocked God for it. And just like us, she was very impatient about it, so she decided to tell Abraham to go sleep with the slave and have a son. And God's saying, my promise isn't through that son, so why did you do that? And it says that Abraham waited 25 years for God's promise. How many of you are willing to wait 25 years for a promise to be fulfilled? I don't know about you, but I would have jumped ship a long time ago. But it says that Abraham waited for 25 years, and he obeyed God. And in verse 15, it says that Abraham received what was promised. So Abraham received Isaac. And God, in his humorous seat, decided once Isaac was born, so now I want you to go and I want you to sacrifice Isaac. God, you tell me to wait, and I waited 25 years, and now you tell me to get rid of the promise that you promised me? Abraham did it. He was patient. And one thing I see in Scripture, and one thing that I see in life is this: is the best things in life are worth waiting for. There's something that's the best things, it's worth waiting for. And that comes with God, because many of us, we're kind of like this. We're kind of like, God, I'm still waiting. Or maybe you're like this. And you're just done, and you're still waiting, and you're still waiting, and you're still waiting on promises. Now, not only do we have a hard time waiting, but we also have a hard time with promises. If we're honest with ourselves, how many of you have been burned by somebody who promised something and never fulfilled it? Maybe somebody said something and you waited for so long and it never happened, and so you lost trust in that person. And so this idea of even hearing about promises is very hard for you. It's very hard for you to just hear it and be okay with God saying, I made these promises and they're going to be fulfilled. See, God knew that people struggle with that. And because a part of our human nature is that we are born with the desire to lie. We're born with the desire to say something and not hold to our promises. Which is why God says, and the scripture says, that God swore by his name. In Genesis 22, 15 through 17, it says this, "The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, 'I swear by myself,' declares the Lord, 'that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore.'" And in verse 16, it goes into talking about this idea of an oath. Now, when you hear oath, typically what it stands for is this idea of being in court. How many of you have been in court before? Or maybe you've been and you've seen it. So, or have you seen movies where they swear on the Bible that everything they say is going to be truth? And so, as human beings, when we make a promise and somebody says, "I don't believe you," typically we swear by something that's greater than ourselves. And so we swear by God, we swear by the Bible. And I don't know who came up with this, but some people swear by their mother's grave. But we swear. And so God knew that. And so God says, and it says that he swore by himself. There's no name greater than himself. So what does he do? He says, "You know what? I'm making this oath and I'm going to stand upon myself." It's an unconditional oath saying, "You know what? I don't care what you do. I'm making this oath and I'm making this promise." So with that oath, God causes us to trust in him. He says, "You know what? Maybe just my promise isn't enough, so I'm going to make an oath and I'm going to make this oath." And so he confirmed his promises with an oath, and he says, "By my name, I swear by my name that this is going to happen." And in Psalms 110:4 says this, "The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind." One thing we struggle with all the time is we have a habit of changing our minds on things. My wife gets mad at me all the time for that. But God's saying, "I will never change my mind. So my word and what I say is trustworthy." And in verse 18, he says this. He did this by two unchangeable things. And it says that it is impossible for God to lie. So not only does God cause us to call us to wait on him, and it could take years and it could take thousands of years before this promise happens. And if you look at the start of Genesis, God made a promise that it took hundreds of years to come fulfill in Jesus Christ. But the writer is saying, "You know what? You can trust in God because it is impossible for God to lie. It's not that he can't. It's not that he won't. It's impossible. It's not in his character to lie. And so it is impossible for God to lie." And I don't know about you, but when I hear that, it gives me a sense of encouragement knowing that everything that God says in his word will come true and will be fulfilled. And it's estimated that there's thousands of promises that God made in Scripture, and every single one of them has been fulfilled or will be fulfilled. And so to anchor our soul, first we need to know we need to wait. We need to be patient. We need to trust, knowing that God's word will come true. In Numbers 23:19, it says this: God is not human that he should lie, not a human being that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? This idea of not trusting goes all the way back. There are people that are struggling with the idea, well, God says will come true. And so even Moses in Numbers is saying, God's not human. He cannot lie. Everything that he says, everything that he proclaims, every promise that he makes will be fulfilled. And so for you guys here that maybe are struggling with just the idea of trust, we live in a postmodern world where trust needs to be earned before anybody ever follows you or listens to you. I know for me in youth ministry, as the pastor of students, that is one of the main things that I need to work to do. Is I need to earn their trust. And I need them to know that I will be there for them. Before I can make any changes, before I can do anything, I need to earn their trust. And the writer of Hebrews is saying, God's not human. He won't forsake you. He won't leave you. He won't turn his back on you. He won't lie to you, because it is impossible for God to lie. And so not only do we need to anchor our souls by waiting, by trusting, but ultimately we need to anchor ourselves in Jesus Christ himself. The promise that God made to Abraham, the promise that he made to Adam, the promises that he made to Moses, the promises that he made to King David, the promises that he made to Paul, to the disciples, all centered upon Jesus himself. Because every promise that God has ever made, at the center point is Jesus. And so if we're going to trust in God, if we're going to wait on God, we need to know that we can anchor ourselves in the foundation of every promise that God has ever made, and that's Jesus himself. And so the writer in verse 18, not only does he say that God cannot lie, but he says, I want to encourage you. Be encouraged by this. And I hope, and I hope if any of you here are coming because you feel discouraged, or you feel like there's no hope, or you feel like nothing good is happening in your life, I hope that this brings encouragement to know that we have a God that you can go to, that you can run to, and know and trust, knowing that everything he says will happen. And so the writer is saying, I'm doing this so that you will be encouraged. God's saying that I'm going to stand upon my word. There's two unchangeable things that will happen. His promises will never be changed. And his oath will never change. We have a God that swears by himself. And so going on with this, he says that we have this hope as an anchor for our souls. And right before this, he says, those who have fled to lay hold of the hope. What are we fleeing from? We're fleeing from our past. We're fleeing from our sin. We're fleeing from everything that holds us down. And we're taking hold of the hope in God. Every promise points back to this hope, the hope that we have in Jesus Christ, the hope of salvation, the hope of eternity, the hope that we have a God that will bring us peace, that will bring us joy. And this hope that the Hebrew writer constantly talks about all throughout this book, we see this idea of hope. It's this idea of guaranteed certainty, not wishful thinking. This idea that when we hope upon something, we know for a fact it's going to happen. The hope in Jesus Christ isn't I hope that what he says is true. I hope that what he says is going to happen. No, it's saying, you know what? I know for a fact, 100%, that God will remain true to his word. That he will remain true to the promise that one day this world will be renewed. The promise that one day every evil thing that happens in this world will diminish. that God will restore, will reconcile back to himself everything. The idea of knowing that one day nobody will ever lie to us again. The one day knowing that nobody would ever hurt us again. Knowing that one day every relationship will be pure again. The one day there would be no sickness, no pain. There would be no diseases. There would be no storms that wipe out cities. That what was there before the fall would happen again. That is the hope that we are standing upon, the hope that the Hebrew writers is encouraging the people to rest in. Because see, the Hebrew people, the Hebrew letter and who it was addressed to, they're experiencing the same hardships that we're experiencing. They're experiencing waves from people who are persecuting them, who are pressuring them to go back to their old life, to go back to following the laws of Moses, to go back to making sacrifices, to go back to all that. And the writer is saying, no, continue to take hold of, to remain secure. That's why he says that we have a hope as an anchor for our soul. Because an anchor is signifies security. When you put it in the water, the goal is to get it secure so that you're not drifting, so that you're not moving, so that you're remaining still. And this idea of an anchor isn't the idea that we're dropping our anchor below the water. What it's saying is that we are casting our anchor up to the throne of God itself. And that we're saying that our hope, our anchor is so secure on the throne of God that nothing is going to move that. And the Hebrew writer says that this anchor goes through the curtain. It goes into the sanctuary. It goes into the throne of God himself. It says where Jesus, our forerunner, went before us. This idea of a forerunner is something, they go before us, they go and prepare something. And if we know back from the Gospels, Jesus told his disciples what? That I'm going to prepare a place for you. That I'm going to prepare the home that one day you are going to live in. The one day you are going to be with me. And so Jesus has already earned that spot for us. He's already earned it by dying on the cross for our sins and by raising again, defeating ultimately death. And he's gone and he's torn the curtains wide open, saying that you have direct access to the throne of God. And we know that in John 14:6, it says that no one can come to the Father except through me. And so we know that our anchor must be anchored in Christ. It must be anchored and found in Jesus Christ himself. Because every other anchor that's found in something else is unstable. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says this, for no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Every promise that God has ever made, no matter how many promises they were, whether it's 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 promises, I didn't read them all to find out how many there were, but there's tons. And he's saying that every promise that God has made is found, yes, in Jesus Christ himself. Because Jesus Christ is the ultimate promise. And when Jesus Christ came and he died for us, he clicked essentially the yes button. Every promise was fulfilled. Our hope is anchored in Jesus. Everything that we strive for, everything that we look forward to must be anchored in the hope of Jesus Christ himself, because if not, you're going to fail. If not, when the waves of life come at you, when the waves of your husband or wife cheating on you, or the waves of you being fired from your job, or the waves of maybe you losing somebody, or maybe you're like Sarah and just you can't have children, and that wave has come smashing down on you. So the question is, where is your hope? And if there's something that I want you to go away with is this, when the waves of life come crashing down, remember that it is God's promises and oath in Christ that anchors your soul. So when you're experiencing those turmoils, when you're experiencing those waves and they feel that feels like there's no light at the end of the tunnel. Maybe you're here and you're hurting now. You have no idea how to get out of the phase you're in. I mean, many of you know that this week the lead singer of Linkin Park committed suicide. Depression is no joke. But I can guarantee this, that when we place our hope in Jesus, we can get through that. When we place our hope in the promise of God, knowing that this depression is just temporary when it comes to the span of eternity, knowing that no matter what happens in this world, it will eventually fade away to the hope and eternal glory with Jesus Christ himself. Whatever it is that you're struggling with, know that Jesus is waiting. He's waiting for you to just fall into his arms and say, Lord, I believe you. I'm waiting on you. I trust in your promises. Lord, be my anchor. Lord, I want to secure it. I want to lay hold of the hope that is found only in you. Is your soul anchored in Jesus? Where do you find your security? Where do you find your hope? Is it in money? Because money is going to fade. Is it in relationships? Because relationships are going to fade. Is it in your job? Your job is going to fade. The only one who's guaranteed to never fade, to never give up, to never go away, is Jesus himself. And so the question is, if you don't know him, are you ready to jump out? Are you ready to trust in him, to lower your anchor into Jesus, to be firmly planted, firmly anchored in Jesus Christ himself? And the good news is this. The Bible says we do this by believing in Jesus, trusting that he died on the cross for our sins, that he defeated what is holding us back, that he defeated all the waves that are coming at us. And then when he rose again, he gave us that hope of one day we are going to be living in glory with Jesus himself. No more pain, no more sorrow, no more trust issues, no more waiting. One day, it's all going to be fulfilled. But the question is, are you willing to anchor yourselves in Jesus? Are you willing to wait upon God in the midst of those storms? Trust that all things are going to work together for good for those that love him. And I'm not saying, and I hope you don't get the fact that when you trust in Jesus, everything is going to just be hunky-dory again. I got news for you. Jesus says that we're going to experience waves in our life. See, the prosperity gospel is false, saying that when you believe in Jesus and you're following him, then all good things are going to happen. The reality is that we're going to have waves at us because the devil is going to wrestle, is going to fight, and never give up. And the question is, are you never going to give up yourself? Are you going to secure yourselves in Jesus, knowing that when these waves pass, you are still firmly secure in the hope that we have in Jesus? Let's pray. God, I hope that our trust is found in you. Lord, I hope that when the waves come crashing down, that we would firmly secure ourselves in you, that we look upon you as our anchor for our souls, that we would look at your hope knowing that it will never fade, that it will never go away. God, there are times in my life where I want to give up. There's trials in my life that are so hard. God, there's times that I just want to give up. But your word says to keep your eyes on you, the author and pioneer of our faith. Knowing that, Lord, that you endured the cross for us. Lord, that you answered every promise that God has ever made, Jesus. Lord, and I just ask that you would help us to see that, help us to sense that, Lord. And if there's anybody here that doesn't have that hope yet, God, I pray that today would be the day that their hearts are open to hearing that, that they're claiming that, that they're saying, you know what, I'm done. I'm done trying to just doggy paddle through these waves, Lord. I want to be secure in you. Lord, I'm tired of people failing me. I'm tired of all this. God, I pray that they would just trust in you, knowing that you will never leave them nor forsake them, knowing that you will never turn your back on them, that everything you say will come. So that when those waves come, Lord, that they are secure in you. Lord, and they're seeking first your kingdom. Thank you, God. Amen.